chapter 2 of 2 Peter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's why we criticize down here so much. Folks down at the liquor store ain't throwing rocks. It's religious folks. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We'll stop reading right there. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, God, for our church, Lord, and how you've helped us and how you've blessed us, Lord. We give you all glory and all praise, Lord. We need your touch now. We ask you to help us in the good word of God tonight. Bless each one that's come this way. Bless those that are not here tonight, Lord. You know what we stand in need of, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to kind of continue tonight from sort of where we left off in 2 Peter the other Wednesday night. When we looked in the first chapter, we looked at thoughts of growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, and getting grounded in the Word of God. Now, Peter was about to leave off the scene of this old world right here, and he saw some things are coming, and he gives us a warning right here about false teachers. False teachers. Now, he didn't say false prophets. You see, prophecy came in time of old by men of God in the Old Testament there. They prophesied of things not yet seen. The apostles, they walked with Christ, and they gave us the four Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, and the only book of prophecy you'll find in the New Testament is the book of Revelation. Some things revealed, it just hadn't come to place yet, but it's very soon going to happen, I believe. But I'm telling you today, we have a time of false teachers among us. He said right here that they shall be false teachers among you. Now, the Bible teaches me that there are many counterfeits in Christianity today. They're false Christians. There's tares that's been sowed by the devil in churches everywhere. And they're in there to try to squeeze out and take over. And so we better beware of counterfeit Christians, even counterfeit gospels. Now there's a lot of folks today that's got a steeple on their building. They're teaching or preaching some other gospel. And Paul said, let them be accursed if they preach some different gospel from that he delivered. And there's churches that deny the virgin birth. They're denying the blood. They're denying the way. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to beware of these kind of places. Now, I'm talking about knowing what's right and wrong. And the best way to combat something that's false is to know the truth, isn't it? And so that's what I want to give you a good warning about tonight. There's counterfeit righteousness. Let me tell you, our righteousness is not by works, not by good deeds that we've done, friend. It's nothing that we've done on our part. Christ imputed His righteousness unto us when we accepted Him and were born again. That's the only thing we got to brag about in our goodness tonight is the one that lives inside of us. But there's a lot of folks that's got a counterfeit righteousness, and our righteousness is coming by faith and no other way. Even counterfeit Christ in the day that we live. Remember old David Koresh out in Texas caused all them folks to perish in a fire? You remember that old boy, what was his name in Guyana? Jim Jones, that all his followers there perished there. Friend, there's false prophets. There's false teachers out there. There's false Christ out there. But I'm glad I know the real one today, ain't you? Amen. You'll find that false teachers are oftentimes characterized by their arrogance, by their selfishness, by their covetousness, by compromise, by corruption, even by adultery. As Peter's going to teach us right here in a little bit, he's a pretty stout preacher. I don't know if many folks could take Peter's preaching or not, because he don't mind calling a dog and a hog a hog. Amen. But listen to me, friend. These false teachers are come to destroy the faith. They want to destroy your faithfulness. They want to destroy your fruitfulness, friend. And they are placed there by the devil himself. Peter tells us that in this passage of Scripture right here. So first of all, let's look at three things tonight. The danger of false teachers or devils, the description of false teachers, and the destruction of false teachers. First of all, let's look in this passage of Scripture right here, backing up just a little bit into chapter number 1 to confirm some things. Peter says right here, we have a certainty of a sure word. Down in verse number 19 right there, he says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now listen, friend, there's too many folks that's taken heed to what man has got to say, and they've left off studying the Word of God for themselves. They don't know where to say amen or oh me or what when somebody gets up before them. Now, we as Christians, we claim to be followers of Christ, friend. We ought to have our nose stuck in this Bible every opportunity we get. We ought to know when a man gets up before us where he's preaching truth or not. Amen. We've got a responsibility. You've got a responsibility, that is, to your home, to keep them in the truth, to keep them in the way of truth and right. There's been too many people that's got out on the job place. Somebody started telling them false things that they've been taught, friend. They got led astray into a false place. Now they've carried their families off into darkness. You've got to beware, friend. False teachers are everywhere. But I'm glad we've got a certain word tonight. We can stand upon the Word of God. We got truth right here. We've got the truth right here. We can study it and know what is sure. Not only that, Peter gives us a confirmation right here of the surety of this Word. Backing up just a little bit, he says, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen now, he said, and this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Peter says, there ain't no doubt. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, this is My Son, in whom I'm well pleased, friend. I'm glad, friend, we've got a certain word. We've got a confirmed word. But I want you to notice in chapter 2, verse number 1, we've got a certainty of Satan's workers. Now, you know, we take the devil for granted a lot. The devil is real. Demons are real. And they're at work, friend. And you know what they've done in our day, friend? They've permeated. They've come into church houses here and there, friend. And people have let them come in, let them take over, friend. That's why you see the glory of God has departed out of so many churches, friend. And they've gone the way of liberalism. They've gone the way of modernism in the day that we live, friend. And they've changed the things, the Word of God, friend. They've changed the Bible. They've changed the way to Christ. And, hey, amen, let me tell you something tonight. You better watch out for these kind of people. Devils I'm talking about. Devils. Listen to me. The certainty of Satan's workers. Jude had something to say on this same line right here. In Jude verse 3, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." Hey, that's you. And you, friend, that claim to know Christ, friend. He says, "I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." Do you understand what he's saying? You got a job to do. If we're going to keep Liberty Baptist Church in the old paths, in the old ways, friend, we got to earnestly contend for it. What he's saying right here, there's going to be a fight. You think the devil's going to just lay down and let Liberty Baptist keep on going like it's a going, friend? He's going to try to get his foot in here, and he's going to try to turn this thing upside down, friend. We're in for a battle. We're in for a fight, friend. Hey, when he comes in, we ought to recognize him. Amen. He said, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. There's a certainty of Satan's workers. There's a warfare that's going on between the spirit world and the devil spirits. Amen. We're in that battle, friend. Now, next in this thought of false teachers right here, notice not only the certainty of a sure word, the confirmation of a sure word, certainty of Satan's workers, but a commentary on their seducing ways. You know, people are easily led astray. Just because somebody maybe looks like they know what they're talking about, act like they know what they're talking about, we're easy to listen to them and to be led astray by them. They may have a position in a church somewhere. Don't mean they're right. Amen? The ways and words are evil, friend. I'm talking about the seducing of people. They're seducing ways. The ways and words of evil, seducing the weak. Listen now. They like to seduce weak people. Weak people that are not grounded, weak people that are not knowledgeable, people that have not studied the Word of God, that don't know what this Word right here says and what to watch for. The devil is real. Jesus told Peter, said, "Satan desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat." You know, he desires to have each one of you tonight. He'd love to get you. But you can combat him, friend, with this Word of God right here. Amen? Jesus did, didn't he? When he tempted him, he used the Word of God against him, didn't he? Hey, we need to be strong in the Word of God, friend. Listen to me, friend. We need to be grounded, we need to be growing, and we need to be guarding against him, friend. There's a lot of false doctrines in the world today. They come to you with flattering words, ear-tickling words, and fables, friend. Hey, the Bible warns us all about these things, friend, but the end of it, friend, is fatality. Fatality. That's what the devil's after. Don't matter. They can come with eloquent speech. They can come with a high education and with a big pedigree this long, friend. The devil, friend, he's got resources. And he's got his people working for him, friend. Now, the Bible tells us this in 1 Timothy 4:1. "Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Notice what he said. Many shall depart the faith. Didn't say they'd depart the church. They'll depart the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, friend. Now, the devil's going to do his best to keep them in your church. He's going to do his best to work them in, get them a position where they can start spewing out their damnable doctrines, their heresies, as Peter calls it right here, friend, beware. Beware. I thank God we got some good teachers here at this place. Thank God we got a pastor preaching the Word of God. Sometimes it cuts, don't it? That's what it's supposed to do. You know that? It's supposed to cut. It's supposed to get on your toes. It's supposed to help correct you and instruct you, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrines, what the Bible says. All right, the danger of false teachers are devils. The description of these false teachers are devils. Notice in chapter 2 now, in verse number 10, we see some descriptive ways right here that Peter lays out for us to watch for them. Notice, first of all, they're corrupted. Verse 10 says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities." They're not afraid to put Liberty Baptist Church down. Amen. They're not afraid to go out and spew lies out about Liberty Baptist Church. They're self-willed. They're bold. Let me tell you, they're empowered by the devil, friend. It says, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord." And says, "But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Corruption. They love to corrupt the things of God. Are you listening to me? Beware. Beware. Know what this Bible says. Study it for yourself. Know when that person comes to you to befriend you, starts telling you things that's not true. Somebody comes up to your door on a Saturday, knocking, wants to leave you some of their literature. Just take a look at it. Just read it, if you would, you know. Just read it. I tell you what you do. You tell them to take care of literature and you hit the road. Don't entertain that junk. I don't even believe you got to be kind to them. Amen? All right. You know what they're doing? As this scripture tells me, they're looking to satisfy the lust of the flesh. They're fleshly. They know we're made up of flesh. And they'll tell you things that'll appeal to your flesh. So you better watch out. They're corrupt. And not only that, friend, you'll notice right here in verse 14, it says, "having eyes full of adultery." Ain't nothing that they won't do. Adultery, corrupt, covetous, all these things, friend. Peter says, you better watch out for them birds, friend. They're counterfeits. You know what Peter says? They're lost. They're lost. They're headed for destruction. It don't matter if they're standing behind a pulpit. It don't matter to me how much they've studied this Bible. They may have been to seminary. They may know a lot about this Bible right here. They may be able to get up and do a pretty good job of preaching sometimes to make you think. Listen to me, friend. They're headed for destruction. Headed for destruction. You show me a preacher that ain't interested in nothing but money and women. Peter says right here, he's lost. He's a deceiver. He's a counterfeit. A counterfeit. Show me a preacher that's got two or three girlfriends out in the audience. He's lost. Lost. Hey, he's the natural man. If he had the Spirit of God living in him, he wouldn't be able to get up there, I don't believe, and do what he's doing. And the Bible tells me if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. None of his. So you better watch these birds, friend. They're corrupted. Secondly, they're covetous. Verse 15. They've forsaken the right way. gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You remember him? He wanted to serve God and mammon. The Bible says you can't do that, don't it? You better watch that bird that's more interested in your silver than your soul. Amen? A lot of them birds flying around on TV. Amen? Money, money, money. Send me your money. Send me my, send me a little seed money. Send me $1,000 seed money. Watch it grow. It's going to come back to you 100-fold. Boy, they can, these great swelling words, man, and there's people out there that's goofy enough to send it to them. Amen? Hope ain't nobody in here been guilty of that. Covetous. They're interested in your silver, not your soul. They're interested in you serving them, not them serving you. Amen? They want you to be under their little lock and chain. Boy, you better watch them birds. It's covetous. Not only that, but compromising. Compromising. Notice what he said in the first part of verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Boy, ain't we got a churchdom in our day that's full of that. Forsaking the right way. But listen. The Bible clearly tells me that in the last days there would be an age of apostasy. A turning away from truth. That's why it's so important for us to know the truth. That we'd not be led astray by these devils. And believe me, they are everywhere, friend. They use the Bible, but not to enlighten, but to deceive. Remember what the devil did to Eve? You look back and read it, friend. He said, God, surely He didn't say that. Oh, you'll not die. Well, He's a deceiver, friend. And they'll compromise the Word of God. He's the Lord and He changes not. His Word is forever settled in heaven. So you better watch Him. I tell you, that's even more reason to stick with the King James Bible. It's proven. It's effective. And why change? Why you need another English translation? You can read English. This is written in English right here. You better just stick with it. And I tell you what, if you don't understand it, pray about it. Pray about it. He'll give you some light if you want it bad enough. He proved that to me when I was a young Christian friend. I didn't know nothing about the Bible, and I got started reading, and I run across something, and it just illuminated to me, but I didn't know what it meant. But I'd heard somebody say, well, pray. Pray, and God will give you light. So you know what? I tried that. You know what? God gave me light. I don't know everything about this Bible right here, but I thank God there's a few things I do know. And ain't no need to try to turn me on them. Because I know what God says in His Word. When He confirms it to me through the Holy Ghost, friend, I ain't a turning from it. The description of false teachers, they're corrupted, they're covetous, they're compromising. But notice this in the last point of this right here, friend, they're camouflaged. Camouflaged. You know when you get ready to go deer hunting, you want to get on your camo, don't you? When the devil sends somebody in to try to deceive and destroy, he'll camouflage them. Notice this. I want you to look back at this scripture right here in 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. You underline this in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You ever pass down the road and see a big old billboard and it says Apostle so-and-so on it? False. False. But notice what he says in verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There's a lot of devils in pulpits. A lot of them. Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. But look, whose end shall be according to their works. There's a payday someday. And I don't want nobody in here, I don't want your children to get led astray into this junk. And lastly, this, the danger of false teachers, the description of false teachers, but the destruction of false teachers. Now back in 2 Peter right here, and we'll be through here shortly. Notice, first of all, there's a day of reckoning. A day of reckoning. And he gives us some past examples. Right here in verse number 4. He says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Then he says, he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person. He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. And he gave us these things as examples, friend. There is a payday someday. Let me tell you something. It may seem like we're the only ones that's still standing in the old paths, that's still preaching the truth, friend. You look out at these mega churches, friend, and you wonder, well, what in the world are they doing? Well, let me tell you something, friend. One of the biggest churches in this country right here has got a devil in the pulpit. Amen? Anybody that don't even know if Christ is the only way to heaven, friend, he's a devil. He won't take a stand on that. He's a devil. He's a devil. I don't care. He comes in, he preaches his little feel-good sermonettes on Sunday morning, tickle ears, friend, boosting people's ego, friend. They go out just like they come in. They have no conviction. They have no salvation. But there's a payday one day. There's a payday one day. I'd rather be gathered out here in the pine thicket under a tent with three people and have the Word of God preached to me than to have the biggest sanctuary in the country, friend, and listen to a bunch of lies on Sunday. Oh, a day of reckoning of the past. God didn't even spare the angels that sinned. Listen to me. But there's a day of reckoning that's promised. Let's look in Jude again. Jude, verse 14. The Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Now, if you back up, you'll see where Enoch spoke about false teachers, past and present. But he says this, I'm talking about a day of reckoning that's promised. The seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Listen to me, friend. Jude said the trial's over. And they've been found guilty. Now they're just awaiting sentence, friend, and execution. Hey, it's a coming to them one of these days, friend. Hey, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Just because we live in a day of apostasy when most churches are turning away from the truth, turning away from the old paths and going into this liberal thing that's going on today, friend. Don't get discouraged, friend. There's a payday one day. Jesus is going to reward you for being faithful to His Word. Amen. Day of reckoning past. A day of reckoning that's promised. But there's a day, a death that's reserved. It's proclaimed in Revelation chapter 20. It says, and death and hell gave up the dead, and they were judged out of the book according to their works. And they were cast into hell. Says they were cast into hell, into the lake of fire. Says this is the second death. Boy, let me tell you, friend, these deceivers, these antichrists, they got a payday coming one of these days. Peter was leaving out of the scene now. He was leaving out of this life. God done showed him that. And he gives most of 2 Peter is teaching and trying to strengthen Christians to be prepared for mockery in the last days, for deceivers in the last days. We need a strong church. Amen? And that strength is going to come in each one of us by studying the Word of God and being grounded in the Word of God and knowing how to guard your church, knowing how to guard your home, knowing how to guard your children, leading and guiding them right. This is a good place to have them. Amen? This is a good place to have them. Stand with me. Beware of counterfeits. Because there's a lot of them out there, friend. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. Any word before we dismiss?